Shmuis begins a sefer that introduces us to a different phase of Klal Yisrael's existence, where we have Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, we have Klal Yisrael in different stages in Mitzrayim, and ultimately a character, the most important character in history, Moshe Rabbeinu, arises and he helps Klal Yisrael. He takes us out of Mitzrayim, through Kodesh Baruch Hu Shlichus, splits the Yam, and obviously the most memorable and most important day of history was it gave us a Torah. Now one would expect in that situation that Moshe Rabbeinu would have a very, very clear description of where he actually came from. It would be very clear exactly who he was, who his parents were, what the names were, what the background was, and in anywhere in the Torah we find how vague the Torah is. It's uncharacteristically vague when it describes Moshe Rabbeinu's beginnings. The Pasuk says, in the beginning of Shemois, in Perek Beis, Pasuk Aleph, V'yelech ish mi beis Levi v'yikach is bas Levi. Ish from beis Levi went and took a bas Levi. Don't know who these people are? I'll tell you who they are. They're Amram. It could be somebody choshev, but it should say V'yelech Amram v'yikach is yecheved. We're dealing here with the most important parents. His parents brought to Moshe Rabbeinu down, and Aaron, a Kohen, and Miriam. Right? These people are great people, and they seem to be so anonymous. There's a man from Levi, man, this guy from this place, this guy from a woman from that place, and they got together. It doesn't say anything about who this child was. But Tara Ishva Taylor Ben. Moshe Rabbeinu had a bunch of names. We don't even know who this child is. Later on, it talks about the daughter of Paroi, and she went along, called him Moshe, which, by the way, that name stuck. No other name stuck, not Tuvia, not Avigdor. So, why is the Torah so vague? Furthermore, earlier on, they're actually named, these Mealdois had a career. Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu's mother and sister had a career. What were they called? The Pasuk says, they were called, where is the Pasuk? Vayelech Melech Mitzrayim, the Mealdois Ivrios, went to Mealdois Ivrios, Pasuk says, Vav, Asher Shem Ha'achas Shifra, Veshem Hashem is Pur. One is called Shifra, and one is called Pur. Now, these are very interesting names. So, Rashi, where did these names come from? It says, Rashi, Shifra Zu Yecheved. See, Cheved, by the way, a.k.a. Yecheved. Al Shem, Shemeshaperes as a Vlad. She beautifies a Vlad. She made him look nice. But little boys put little nice little things on their, baby grows, and the girls put little ribbons in their hair. That's Yecheved. And Pua is Miriam. Al Shem, Shapua, Medaberes, Voigel Vlad. She's nice, she's sweet, she coos to the child. That was who they were. Shifra and Pur. Say, Yecheved and Miriam. You're dealing here with people who are Moisa Nefesh for Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Isai, but Paroi said, kill these children. Paroi doesn't get double-crossed easily. You're dealing here with a national crisis. Jews are going to take over the land. There's going to be a Muhammad. There's going to be a situation where there's a security risk. We have to deal with it. And Paroi brings in the two people responsible. Kill them. And they don't. And the Moisa Nefesh, and not only that, the Techayenu Esayiladim, they encouraged their growth and helped them and supported them and went out of their way. So say who these heroes are. No, one is called Klaka and one is called Nisa. I don't know. Yeah, interesting name, just in order to wrap up who they were. These people were Tzaddikim. They're Moisa Nefesh, they're heroes. So why don't we say who they are? So there's a beautiful, beautiful Vat Rishon Shem Pinkus, and it's so typical, because his Divrei Torah are so emotional, but the message is a message that comes out in intellect too. He says, imagine a person goes to a hospital and you see an intensive care unit, Rachmana Litzlan, intensive care unit, there's lights, there's harsh lights, and there's noise, and there's machines, and there's doctors, and there's nurses, people running in and out, and there's this little child there, little 1.5-year-old child who was Nebuch in intensive care unit. And he's tied up to a bunch of machines and tubes, and it's very sad to see. With all that's going on, there's nurses going in, taking different measurements, giving medications, there's doctors coming in. But if you see one person there who's actually looking at the child and making him smile and tickling them and going down to their level and like giving a little shock, that's not going to be a nurse. You don't get nurses in intensive care doing that. There's going to be one person, that's the mother. The mother, beyond the fact that obviously she wants the child to live, and beyond the fact that the health of the child is paramount to her very survival, it goes beyond that. The way that a mother relates to her child is such that the child's well-being is not just a physical survival, it is getting into the kishkas of making the child happy, giving the child a pleasurable experience way beyond the needs of what it just takes to keep the child alive. Shifra and Pua were heroes, no doubt. They kept Klal Yisrael alive. They went against Paro Melech Mitzrayim, which was a life-threatening move. And the Techayenu Sayilodim, Moshe Feinstein says, Techayenu Sayilodim means that if a person has a responsibility sometimes, which is very difficult to do, he's relieved if naturally the responsibility is no longer there. A person has, Rachman Litzlan, a very, very sick friend. And he goes to the hospital and he takes him backwards and forwards and goes to oncology, and you name it, and he's really helping it. And eventually he gets a lot, it pays a big price. And the person, Rachman Litzlan, passes away. So there's a certain relief for the person that he's not suffering. And also, he can get back to life. No, but Chena Seilodin, says what Moshe Feinstein was, that they were upset if they came to the hospital and the child had died, not because of them, they were upset, but Chayana, they put the koichas into it that should make even the children who shouldn't live, live. Not the children that should live, not live. They put their whole koichas into it, they put their whole thought and love into it. So, says Shim Shapinkus, Shifra and Pua, of course they were heroes, kept them alive. But they got down to the level of the children to make them smile, to make them pretty, to make them coo, to make the children enjoy life, and that is the koyach way beyond of what a Jew is expected to do of survival. It is to get into and understand what another Jew needs, and to stand by and just to see that as long as he's taken care of, I'm okay. No, you've got to get into the kishkas. Rosh Shlomo Hyman, the Rosh Hashivas in America, and his wife had a very, very big Hachnasas Kala fund. And there's one time a Yesema came who needed help. So Rav Shlomo Hyman made sure that everything, the money was raised, his wife raised the money. And on the day of the chasda, Rav Shlomo Hyman said to his wife, "Nu, are you going with the color to choose the flowers?" He said, I'm busy. You know, I've got the money. I arranged the money. I arranged everything. He says, No. We're not a gaboy stocker. This is not a job. You're the mother. You are in place of the mother. You've got to go down to the level of this girl. A mother would go on the day and get the flowers. You are the mother. Go and go with her to the flowers. This is the level of Shifra and Pua, which is way beyond the survival. It is cooing to the children. It is making them smile. That is what a Jew is all about. And this is an amazing, amazing what the Baal HaTurim says. Later on in the parasha, this message went through to Aaron HaKohen. The Pasuk says, later on, where Moshe Rabbeinu was taken and put inside this, into this side of the river, the pasuk says, "Vatiftach v'tirel se yelid," and she opened up and she saw the yelid, "V'hine nar boicher," and the nar, a young yelid and a nar, two different levels really. It's a nar boicher is a youth, yeah, was crying. But Tachmal Olav, and talking about Bissi Baspara, she felt sorry for him, she had Rachmanis on him. But Toimim Eyalde Ha'ivrim, so this is from a Jewish child. So Rashi has a problem, what's Rashavahin in Nar Boicher? If you're talking about Ayelet, so Rashi says, Koiloi Kanar, his voice is like an adult. Which has a lot of different explanations what that means. It's not a mum, whatever, different explanations. The Baal HaTurim explains it differently. The Baal HaTurim explains, Vahin in Nar Boicher, is referring to a different person to the Yelet. Vatar v'tireis ha-yeled. Yeled is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's a yeled, a little child. V'hinei nar boiche, says the Baal HaTurim, ze Aaron HaKohen. It's Aaron HaKohen. So the yeled and the nar are two different people. V'hinei nar boiche. V'tachmol olav v'toymim eyalde he'ivrim ze. What's Peshat? So the Baal HaMusa say that if we have a situation where you have one person in pain, and somebody from the side stands there and cries for somebody else's pain, but now her Ivrim said, that's a Jewish trait. She understood and appreciated this must be a Jewish child. Because nowhere else in the world do you have a situation where one person suffers and somebody else takes the pain as if it's his own. And there's a beautiful story that is brought down from a Pesach Kron. He said as a child, introduction to the book Reflections of the Maggid, the Father, or Echoes of the Maggid. He said there was a child who became bar mitzvah in Sderot. And you talk about in the middle 90s where there was a lot of terrorist attacks near Gaza. Things haven't changed, unfortunately. And there was a child who was bar mitzvah, and he gave his drasha beautifully, and at the end of the drasha he said, and now I'd like to speak to the Rebbeinu Shalom. Now I'd like to speak to the Rebbeinu Shalom. I've spoken to the crowd, I'd like to speak to the Rebbeinu Shalom. A 13-year-old boy. And he said, Rebbeinu Shalom, I want to talk to you now. If everyone else listens, that's fine, but I want to talk to you. He says, it is a normal thing when you join a club to get privileges. You get privileges. You know, you join a frequent flyers club. You get privileges, you get a few extra miles. You join Nespresso, you get a few capsulot. I don't know. You join a club, you get free privileges. He said, Rebbeinu Shalom, I have joined a very privileged club of being part of Klal Yisrael. And a privileged club, I want some bonus points. And my bonus points is that I have a friend who is in my class whose father was attacked and his mother were attacked, killed by the Palestinians. Rebbeinu Shalom, find them somebody who be like a father to this boy, who will teach the bar mitzvah sedra and the drosha to the boy like way a father will. Rebbeinu Shalom, find a mother, find a woman who's going to take this boy and look after him and dress him in a way that a mother would dress their bar mitzvah boy. Rebbeinu Shalom, I'm not asking for myself, I'm asking for your children, for my brothers, help me. Minaha Ivrim Zeh. When one child suffers, another child stands by and cries for the other child, that's Minaha Ivrim Zeh. That is a trait that is only uniquely shy of the Klal Yisrael. And this is what Mitzrayim did not get. The Mitzrayim could not understand, they could not fathom, they could not come to the realization that it's shaykh such a thing. They did the craziest thing. They took a nation, and these people were productive, Jewish minds, Jewish brains. They must have been pretty good workers. Now, I don't know how great they were on the building thing, but they were pretty good workers. You could have put them in high tech, you could have put them into anything. They were pretty good workers, right? And you take them, and you take all the males, and you kill them. Kill them, drop them in the sea. Why? Because the astronomer saw that the Seif Moshiach Shel Yisrael is going to come. Now listen to this. Not only did they see that there's going to be somebody who's going to save Klal Yisrael, they saw that the person who's going to save Klal Yisrael is going to be from Shevet Levi. He's going to be from Shevet Levi. Now Shevet Levi had a very privileged position in Mitzrayim that they never had to work. How did they get off that? How did they possibly get off not having to work an entire tribe, get off not working? And it's all going to come from there. What's going on over here? So Reuenis and Abishit said, one question answers the other. They understood that Klal Yisrael is going to have somebody who's going to save them. That person who saves them has to be somebody who ultimately is going to have to feel the pain of what it means to stand up for a person who is in the same level as they are. A person who is not in the Shibud. Shevet Levi, who don't feel the pain of the Shibud, nobody is going to ever come up from there, is going to stick their neck out to save the rest of Klal Yisrael. Because why should they? They've got a cushy life, they're comfortable. So therefore, if the Mashiach Shel Yisrael, if the person who's going to save them is going to come from Shevet Levi, let's not put them to work. And therefore none of them will stick their neck out in order to save Klal Yisrael. And therefore let's not give them the Shibud. But they never understood Menahe Ivri Zu. They never understood that when it comes to the Jewish people, you're completely wrong. And the Pasuk says, and that's what the Pasuk says later, Vayelech Ishen Veisei Vayelech Bas Levi, it's irrelevant the past. Irrelevant who Moshe Rabbeinu came from, a super duper father, Amram, and an unbelievable mother, Yecheved. That's not the point. It's not the point. Keep them anonymous. What we need to know is, and who they are, Yecheved and Miriam, it's not the point. What is the point? Shifra and Pua is the point. The point is, what do these people do to save Klal Yisrael? What do they do to stick their neck out to make a person feel good, not just to make them survive? Shifra and Pua is what is important. Moshe Rabbeinu, it's irrelevant who his parents were. When does Moshe Rabbeinu get any identity whatsoever? That is Vayihi Vayomim Hohem Vayigdal Moshe. Moshe became great. When? Vayetze El Echov, when he went out to his brothers of Vayavis of Lason and saw their suffering. Moshe Rabbeinu had no identity whatsoever until he went out to see how other Jews suffer. How other Jews are suffering, their Medrash brings down. How Moshe Rabbeinu went and changed the lot from one to the other. You saw an old man carrying a big heavy burden and a young man carrying a light burden. He changed it around and he put down his crown on the side and said, boys, I'm here to help you. And day after day he went there and stuck his neck out and was Mason Nefesh for Klal Yisrael. And Bein Hashem said to him, if that's the case, I'm going to go down. And Vayasol Liros, Moshe Rabbeinu, was shown Bein Hashem in the snare, Midah Keneged Midah. Moshe Rabbeinu came great not because of parents. He became great because Vayabes of Leisom. He went out to see the suffering of his parents. Just finish off with this story. There's a famous case of the Bailiff's case in Russia. It was a blood libel that he took. It was probably one of the most recent blood libels. And they came out and they said this factory worker, this bricklayer, this brick worker, took a Jewish child and killed him for the blood of the matzahs. Okay? And they turned this into Russia, they turned it into a national, international debate against Jews. And one of the proofs was, it says in the Gemara that Atim Kriim Odom Vloyheim Kriim Odom. You are called Odom. In other words, you are humans and they're not called humans. So you see, you treat Gentiles as non-humans, a different sub-race. Of course you can kill them. And they knew they were going to ask them that question. So I think it was Ramesh Shapiro. I don't remember. Yeah. Ramesh Shapiro. And he says, no, you don't ask this question, you have to answer like this. Atim Kriim Odom means you are called a single person, Odom. What does that mean? He said, when I get a person who has a toothache, the feet take him to the dentist. Yeah, the hands work in order to pay up that toothache. Why is that? Because your Odom means you're a single person, we're all one. V'loy heim Kriim Odom. They're not called Kriim Odom because they're all individuals. We are one people. He said, I'll prove it to you. He said, right now, you have one person in Russia who is a bricklayer. He's a bricklayer or working in a brick factory. And he's an anonymous person. And the rabbis went in England to get Queen Victoria to write a letter to the King of Russia, to the Tsar of Russia, to make sure that he let him off and to give him a lenient trial. Right? This is Atin Kriim Odom with one person. And this is V'yaviv Leisom. Moshe became great not because of fancy, schmancy parents and yichus. It became great with the fact they had a mother and a sister who worked about survival, not only of the physical, but the emotional, going down V'yaviv Leisom. That is Moshe Rabbeinu. That is Klal Yisrael. That's Aaron HaKohen, and that is Ezra Shem, the legacy that brought us to Har Sinai and brought us, Ezra Shem, to our future.